This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. It is great to have you joining us today for Wednesday Live, and in studio already, we might have some more showing up, we'll see. But already, Karen is here. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's great to have our family with us. And we have, I believe, John Nelson's going to join us. He has a great report to give us, I believe. John, are you out there?
I'm over here in the Tampa, beautiful Tampa area, and I do. We have a big report.
Good.
We have a praise report, brother.
I love it.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. We've been talking about an upcoming event. It has come and it has gone. So you have a report on how that all went.
Well, you know, we were doing golf tournaments for years. We've done the Miami Heat kids thing and adult thing for a long time, and 14 years. And this year, Dennis Fano, who's on our board, he's going to be on with David here in a couple weeks. He told me this: I'm not giving you no money for the Miami Heat. I was like, what, are you mad at me? He goes, no, we're going to do a fishing tournament. I just looked at him all baffled. Like, yeah, okay. I know nothing about that, but let's do it. So we got that together with some other people, and, you know, it's crazy. We're going into the captain's meeting. We only have 14 boats plus the drift boat safari. And by the time we got into about 6 p.m. on Friday at the captain's meeting, which we had about 100 people show up to, we were at 27 boats. Which, for a first-year tournament, is just huge. You know, we were hoping for 20. We ended up with 27. Great, great, great turnout. We were able to give out $9,000 in tournament money. You know, a lot of fishermen will come out, but these guys, you know, they're in it for the money. So, you know, we have labored along, and set up fishing websites, and we put a lot of money into setting up for next year. And we're just happy to say we had 30 people on the safari. Rocky, he was going to give it to us almost pennies. And you know, one thing about familiesrecover.org, Jonathan, we don't expect anybody to lose money. That's not why we do this. We want people at least break even, pay your staff. You know, it's not cheap to run a boat 60 feet long with 30 people on board, and you're giving them bait, tackle, and your crew. So, you know, we had a lot of first-time fishermen out there. They had a blast. Seacoast was our main sponsor, along with Fano, and they were a huge support. They worked the whole event, Leslie, one of the assistants, and we're just so blessed. Even they were like, and their big the big CEOs, he was kind of blown out of the water. He goes, you know, John, for a first event, what a success. To see the kids, and actually one of the Seacoast people, the wife has never fished before. She caught a sailfish.
Wow.
I've never, yeah.
That's a big deal.
You've never fished before? She goes, no. I go, well, You caught the Cadillac.
Wow, that's for sure. That's for sure.
But, you know, to see the bunch of people and the newly sober and people that are sober and people in the industry, we love spoiling people that have dedicated their lives to helping people like me. You know my story. It was just a huge blessing. I had my, you know, I had my whole family in town. You know, they're really worried about my health. So they all came in for this event. The only people that weren't was my sister, who's a nurse, couldn't get time off. And my nephew has a really, really tough autistic son. And he doesn't do well traveling like that. And he's getting better. He's 10 years old now. And, you know, I know you know a whole lot about that stuff. And it's just a blessing. You know, we were all together. And it's, you know, I'm sitting back. I was able to borrow a boat to go out to the sandbar with everybody. And, you know, Jonathan, it's hard to sit there and have gratitude. It's especially being that exhausted. And I'm sitting back watching four generations. And this is God's mercy and grace. I deserve a prison cell. I say that because anyone that knows me knows that a long, long time ago, you know, that's where they should have put a guy like me. And it reminds me of the guy, if you ever go to an AA meeting, there's a picture on the wall with the original three AAs. And Bob and Bill paid out of their own pocket. They figured right around 90 days sober. They called the hospital and said, we want your worst case. And all three of these guys were doctors, by the way. Very well educated for the time. Anyway, they went over and started witnessing to this guy. And back then, you had a whole lot more God in that program. I'm not saying that God ain't there still, but not to the degree it was back then. And this is what they did. They loved on that guy. They talked to that guy. 27 times this guy had been into a detox type of thing, a reformatorium, I guess that's what they call them. And they were about to commit this guy to an insane asylum for the rest of his life. 6 days later, this guy got off that bed. He never took another drink, and he was sober for the rest of his life.
Praise God.
You know, when I think of stories like that, like the prodigal son, because I'm dealing with one of those in my life right now with someone that I really love. She's almost family. I met her through the nonprofit, and her son's drinking himself to death. And it's like, you know, it's hard to counsel people on tough love, but you know, I hope that anyone's out there listening right now, you know, tough love is the only answer. Enabling somebody that's doing the wrong thing is just putting nails in the coffin. And I don't think we talk enough about that. I think one day I'm hoping I can get an hour with David and really just spell out addiction, you know, and what the preventions are and what to look for. I've got another 23-year-old that's the dad's an executive. She's got felony bond, two charges, in a blackout, beat a guy up in his own house on camera, thinking that it was her house. And she's still out there doing her thing. You know, I'm not God, and I can't tell people what to do. But one thing, like you guys being in the ministry for as long as you have, I'm sure you've had conversations with people in your congregations that, hey, listen, it hurts, but you got to cut them off with love.
Yeah.
And then you got to hope for the best. Like that father and the prodigal son. You know, not Swindoll. Who's next? Who's up at 12:30? Gosh, my brain is dead. He's on the radio program every day, Monday through Friday. He's out in California. Who's the radio show on at 12:30 on your station every day?
David Jeremiah.
David Jeremiah, that's who you're thinking about?
Right.
Or is he thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he's been talking about the prodigal a lot, you know, over the last couple months. And, you know, and this is how you try to counsel somebody. You know, when someone steps over into that world, it's not the world that you want to be a part of. You know, he tough loved. And this is what I reassured these people. And this is what I got to witness in my own life this weekend. Redemption happens. But, you know, you can't give that redeeming love back until they're willing to live the life that's lovable. you know, the prodigal son is a great thing to talk about in a mental health or even an addiction type of thing. But getting back to the event, I was sitting back watching this thing go down. Congressman Nass came on Saturday. We actually gave him fish. We gave his assistant a big bucket of fish. You know, some people, we don't eat fish, but here, take this fish. And I had so much going on this weekend, I couldn't keep it because it's fresh. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, I have so much gratitude. I was exhausted. I mean, a lot of people know my physical state, and everybody finally left on Monday, and it's a good exhausted. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
There's a bad exhausted, and there's a good exhausted. But when I went to bed last night, guys, it was like, whew, is this over now?
Is it over? Well, until. But this was such a great event. Already plans are in place for a year out, right?
You know, yeah, and it's so cool. We're already going into the Miami Heat preparation. We want to make that bigger than ever. I'm over in Tampa right now, and I stopped at a treatment center. The last girl that we got out of human trafficking up in Detroit is in her 8th week of treatment. And just had a great visit with her, took her some stuff. You know, they don't have anything in treatment, and she don't have a family that can provide. So, you know, through the nonprofit, we're able to get her some food, you know, and stuff like that. Because when you get to a certain point in inpatient treatment, you only get so much for provisions. So, you know, it's a joy to have that bond with somebody and reassure them that you just stay where you're at. They got some legal problems, and I'll tell you how it goes, Jonathan. I called a human trafficking law office on Monday because I want to get this girl through some of the, and it's small stuff, but it's in two different counties, so we don't want to take her back to Detroit. So yesterday, this place actually went out of their way and found us a law firm in Detroit that's going to help us make it to where all she has to do is show up, get her lumps. Because you know what? We don't appease. If you've broken the law, you got to go take care of that.
That's right.
Like me, I broke the law. I had to pay. I had to do it. I had to go do my whatever I had to do. And that's what we're teaching these people in sobriety. And you got to be accountable for the things that you've done. So I don't want to keep her up in Detroit unattended. She was trafficked for 7 years of her life, and we don't want to put her back out there like that. So we're going to make sure we keep our hands on that. But God bless us with a law firm in downtown Detroit that may do it pro bono.
Wow, that would be awesome.
You know, awesome. It's just, I've learned, and it, people are like, how come you're so committed to this? I lost my wife to the streets.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I was going to say, John, you know, some people are listening, they don't know why you do what you do, but there is a very close personal reason.
Well, we started Families Against Drunk Driving 14 years ago. Some personal stuff going on, and it's really irrelevant to go into it. Just to say that it turned into me getting custody of my kids pretty quickly. And I was only out of jail for 10 months. But I had broken my back to get an address and get everything going in the right direction, and I was actually able to go to court and get custodial. And that's one thing that we're committed to. You know, 7 years later, 6 years later, Jenny and I, when heroin and opiates was going crazy, we changed, we added a name, familiesrecover.org, because you know as well as I do, being in the counseling world of clergy, there's nothing that you, families suffer, families can recover. Well, it wasn't maybe a year, 18 months later, my wife chose, and I didn't know because I didn't know anything about opiates. She was back on them. And we had to put her out of the house. Things were going on in the house that was not appropriate to be around a kid, and ended up losing her life out there. And she was trafficked for about 6 months on Bridge Road. And she walked into the hospital at 38 years old. And walked into hospice by herself, checked herself in, and she was dead about 70 hours later.
Wow.
At 38 years old. So, you know, that kind of really broke my heart, and it, I miss her to death. You know, a lot of people don't understand this, and I'm sure you do. You know, we're not bad people. We just make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And when you're not a bad person and you finally come to a point where you're convinced that you are a bad person, you won't stop. No matter who you're hurting, you just are so convinced that you're rotten to the core. You're never going to be able to be redeemed for this, and you'll take it right to the end. And we were seeing that at 350 people a day up until Trump got back in office. And I was talking to the congressman about this Saturday. Since the borders have been wiped out of fentanyl, overdoses down 40%. Now, if you're listening and you hate him, that's great. But if you have kids, I hope you love them. Because he put all the money back into place to go after human trafficking. He put all of the people back in place to shut the borders down, the fentanyl and all the other drugs. So you can hate the man till you're blue in the face. But if you're a parent like me, I love him. Mm. And I love all the people he surrounded himself with. So you can be a liberal, or I'm an independent. I just love the fact that kids are a little safer today than they were 2 years ago.
Amen.
I don't know if that
makes sense.
You know, and that's what we're all here for. You know, back in the day, you could have politics and nobody would beat each other up over it. And now it's like everyone wants to tear your family apart because of one name. And that's just pretty sick. But we won't go there today. I am just simply, you know, Jenny has become a big memorial to families recover. Her mom and dad are big on it. They lost their son at 19. They lost Jenny at 38, both of them to addiction.
Wow.
So my mother-in-law has two urns above her TV of both her kids taken by addiction. And she lost her brother to the same thing.
Mm.
So, I mean, but there's a way out. And when I just seen Paul over in Tampa, you know, to see the brightness coming back in her eye, and she has some hope, and she's made a commitment to stay here for a year. You know, recovery is a thing that takes time, and you just can't be in a hurry. It's like knowing God. I shared this in a meeting yesterday. I went to Faith Farm years ago. I read the Bible twice through, and I couldn't understand why they wouldn't let me preach. You know, and I'm sure there's people in the, I know there's people listening right now saying,
I love
it too. And you're being a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. And I did share this yesterday in the meeting because I work with a lot of new people, and it's a newcomer meeting. You know, you give back, and that's how you can stay sober. It helps you. It helps me stay where I'm at. You know, I prayed for families against drunk driving, families recover for 14 years, and we just had an event that warmed my heart so much that it took 14 years for God to say, now you might be ready for this. You know, not like my old way of thinking where I would get into a place like Faith Farm and all of a sudden I thought I was a biblical trained scholar with the background to get up on the podium and tell people, you know, how we can become spiritually rich. That doesn't happen overnight. And it's the same thing in sobriety, Jonathan. It's the same thing. People got to come in and they want to get back on the horse and they want to go fast forward and they haven't even learned how to stay sober.
Right.
So I'm a real big advocate of that 1 year. If you're single, stay single for a year. If you're married, stay married, but do the work for the year. There's work, and it's just like becoming. You didn't become a. I listened to you on the radio when you're preaching. I love listening to you. It's really positive stuff. It's really good stuff. You're easy on my ears. And I say that to brag because there's some preachers out there. Like Squindall, I've been listening to for years. A couple of them. But there's a couple that I got to turn the channel because it's just something about me and their voice. But that's me. That has nothing to do with them. I don't know if that makes any sense. I mean, I just living in a couple days of gratitude. It was just, you know, to have my grandbaby and my great niece and nephews who I have incredible relationships with, that's only through the power of God. You know, I have a great nephew that went to Morningside for my great niece for, I think, the first 4 years. And he's asking me about the Old Testament the other day. He's 10 years old. Didn't that happen in the Bible, Uncle John? I go, yeah. And, you know, he's kind of like going right down the line with the stories in there. And it's like, how refreshing.
So we thank God for a great event. You send out a thank you to everybody.
I want to thank Fano and Colorado Ohana. They gave us nice stuff to auction off, and Crowder Rods and Seacoast. I just and even Dennis and his family. You know, my family jumped in. A bunch of volunteers. You know, I can't do this alone. None of this is because I'm that important. It's not. I mean. it took a lot of people to make that happen. And we're so happy that we got a lot of great feedback. We're going to actually back it up a month because the bottom fishing is a lot better in early June, late May. And we're going to add categories for the fishermen to actually be able to win more money in those categories. I had guys walking up that have been doing this for a long time, and they're like, if you just do this one thing, you'll have 50 boats next year. Wow. So, I mean, it's like anything else. It's a learning experience. But to sit there and just watch the people eating food and there's music playing and people won some awards and we put some money back in the piggy bank, because it's all about raising money. I mean, I can't do
the
things that we do as a nonprofit, like give another car away. We just got another car that's getting, it's going to be gone at 12:30. I had the mechanic go through it. Carol gave us two cars in a year. Her daughter gave one and she gave the other. They're both going to great homes. You know, and we didn't have to put a whole lot of dollars into them. It's not, you know, giving, you can't outgive God, Jonathan. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. So, Carol, two cars. I remember her calling. So the second car is going to a family?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, they got a college student, and they really broke their backs to get him going where he's going after doing the things I did, and I commend them. You know, just because we make big, listen, I made some huge mistakes in my life. I did, over and over. I was the prodigal guy that didn't make the Bible. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I try to put some humor into it. But it wasn't funny at the time. I put my family and my brother, I had, and I'm not bragging, but maybe I am. I cost my family a lot of money. And this last weekend, I was able to almost foot the bill, except for plane fare.
That's awesome.
I was able to pay for half the safari in Airbnb. I put my nephews on a fishing boat with a great charter guy. You know, and I'm not saying that, but I was paying it back.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be responsible for the things that we caused. And being able to, and he just got off the phone with me because he knows I'm going to the doctor. And he goes, thank you. Thank you. I said, don't say thank you. I said, I burned you to the ground years ago.
Mm.
And he goes, and that's okay. I mean, if anyone's out there listening right now and you need help, I have insurance. People, I have trauma coaches. I'm a trauma coach and a sober coach. We have people all over the country that are willing to take people in, not so much on scholarship, but we did make friends with a guy that 4 years off of heroin, he didn't ruin his insurance credentials. And he's dedicating a whole day a week, which may not sound like a lot, but it is, to finding people that can't get insurance to get insurance. And we're footing the bill for some of that, to be able to get them the treatment or the mental health that they deserve. I mean, if everybody did like you did and Karen did and Dave did, and I'm not just saying it's just limited to us. There's a whole lot of people in the circle of giving back. But if people are just a little more inclined to reach out that hand to that homeless guy or that vet that doesn't have teeth, we don't know their story.
It's true.
We don't. You know, and we live in a big world of judgment, and we got big cars and big houses and whatever. But there's a whole lot of people right here in Florida. They don't know where their kids' food's going to come from. And they have professional positions. I know teachers that live in their cars. You know, we just don't know who needs. And a lot of people won't ask for help. And that's what this is about. You know, I give my phone number and email address all the time, like you guys do, because I know that 89.9 has huge resources waiting for people. Just please call and ask. And if you need something, call me, 772-285-5828. Nobody's going to judge you. If you're sitting somewhere right now and you got drugs in your hand, you're not going to stop today. But if you're deciding that maybe it's soon, call me. If there's a need in your family to need prayer, 221-1100. They will answer the phone and they will pray for you. And it's not just the only entity that does that. We're loaded with great opportunities clergy-wise in our area. We really are. There's some really powerful churches that are just willing to, They're not going to hand you a check to bail you out, but they will feed you.
Yep.
And they will give you the counsel you need to get back on your feet. You know, a lot of people call, well, I need 3 months rent. Well, I need a new heart transplant. I wish I could do that, but you just don't have, you got to vet people. It's the same thing with this. I had a girl leave treatment a couple weeks ago. Then she begged to go back, and the treatment center called me. And I said, let's wait a day or two. You know, desperation does a lot of things. And 2 days later, she was back in Tampa. You know, we don't want to close the door that anybody, nobody knew when I would finally get it. And nobody stopped me from trying to get it when I was trying to get it, if that makes any sense.
John, we're almost out of time.
You know me, I could go all day.
I know you could, and it started with reading through the Bible two times. But listen, you always speak to that one that's listening today, and our churches have many people sitting in the seats that are desperate. We have people in cars that are desperate. We have people in their homes today on the job that are desperate. I want you to just speak to them and then lift them up in prayer as we transition. And thank you so much for coming on air today.
I want to add one thing. The people that are listening in prison that have radios.
Prison, that's right, many.
Because I've been there, and I listened. So, Father, we just thank you so
thank
much
you,
for
Lord.
Just a huge event, Father. We just thank you for our sponsors. The list is big. We just thank you for being able to bless people that couldn't ever fathom being a part of something like this, that we've been blessed enough to be able to afford
thank
that.
You, Father.
Father, we just thank you for Carol and her daughter, two great vehicles that are just going to the great places to get people back up and running on their feet. Father, we just thank you for all the food banks that are in our town. We have a lot of food banks, people. If you're listening, please swallow your pride and get some food in the house.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for all the abundance that we have in this country, and we just thank you for our president that stopped
Amen.
All these drugs. And we just lift that up in Jesus' name.
Amen. John, we love you.
And you know what, Jonathan? It did start with reading the Bible twice through. But it was 25 years later that I actually was able to comprehend why I read that.
Right. That's all right. It was good seed. It is good seed. Blessings, John. I think we lost connection.
God bless you.
All right. Blessings.
Love you.
We'll talk soon. Take care. Bye. All right, and that's John Nelson, John Nelson Families Recover. What a great event. They are very pleased with it, planning to do another event next year. But thanks to all of you who prayed. I know all of you were not boat people necessarily. And so if you're not, maybe you prayed and lifted that up. But that was a successful fundraiser for Families Recover. And you can find them at familiesrecover.org. And John always gives his number, 772-285-5828. Karen, you have some mail. And then it looks like we have the God's Got It team showing up to give us a promo for tomorrow.
Amen. Yeah, so some of the mail we received, this is from Bill and Deb. And they're in Jupiter, and they said, WCNO is a light to us. Keep up the great work. And they sent that in with their $150 donation. And then we have Peter from Indiantown saying, WCNO, please add our gift to your spring totals for the spring prayer and share. And they had sent in a $250 gift. And then we've got Safina from Stewart said, God bless you all. And she sent in her monthly donation. We thank you, Safina, for that. And then our brother Tim from Ocean Breeze sent in a note to Jonathan. I've enclosed a $100 bill in this envelope for the April prayer and share. The material in the envelope you all sent me has gone missing, so this letter will have to do.
I'm thinking we may have others that have some letters that have gone missing.
Have gone missing.
Yeah, so we want to thank you, Tim, for your donation, and that came in a while back. but I held on to it because I know many times we'll have people say during prayer and share, I'm so sorry I didn't get it sent in last time or maybe last year.
Right.
Well, it's never too late to be a blessing, and I think that's part of what John Nelson was talking about, that there are a lot of people willing to help, and sometimes you may need help or you may be able to help. But on either side, it's good to be a blessing. And if you have been intending to send in your donation to WCNO, you can still do that.
Yes, you can.
Or you could call it in, or you could go online, or you could text it in. There's a lot of different ways you could do that. And this ministry is a listener-supported ministry, and so your support is really important. Thank you, Tim, for your support. Was that all the mail?
Yes.
That was all the mail. All right, Rachel. You are on mic 5 today. That'll work.
That'll work. Yes.
I was waiting to find out which mic you were on, and here you are.
You said Rachel, and I'll say present.
Present. Present.
It sounds like we're in school.
There you go. Present. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the program that's coming up tomorrow. God's Got It.
Well, God's Got It is coming on at 11, and we will have Miss Alexa here, and I believe Miss Toddie's coming.
Toddie's going to be here?
I believe so.
Toddie is going to be here?
Yes.
Oh, my. She
we
has.
Look forward to that.
She has been used of God in so many people's lives. She's an amazing, amazing matriarch in the kingdom of God. She really is. She's touched so many lives. And so tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock. We should be here.
Be right here.
The Lord wills.
The Lord wills. And then Karen, Friday, you will be back with Hidden Places.
Hidden Places.
Good.
Hidden Places.
Yeah. And live in here. No repeat, in person.
No repeat, in person. And I know you worked with my wife Rachel and Alexa in getting their promos and such forth together. let me jump to one and play it, and then we'll be right back in just a moment. And we're glad you're listening to Wednesday Live today. This is 89.9 Palm City, Florida.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And that was the promo.
That was it.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, took a little bit.
Yeah, it did. It took a lot of
laughter. A little bit. It took almost all day.
Took a lot of laughter.
It was a lot of fun. That had to have been the most fun time that I've had.
Aww,
helping somebody to record. Yeah, they're
opening.
Well,
we appreciate it so much.
It was really fun.
All I know is my wife left before lunch.
Yeah.
And it was long after lunch. And I'm looking at Andrew, and he's going, Dad, are we going to eat today? And so we decided to just eat without her. And then we found out, she said, I'm still down here with Karen. So you all were putting things together tomorrow. God's Got It. What's the program about? What's it
tomorrow,
about?
Tomorrow, it's kind of speaking about depression and anxiety.
Okay. A lot of that in the world.
Oh, yes. A lot. And we're just praying we can touch somebody's life, you know, and encourage them and help them to realize, you know, God really does have our lives. When we surrender our lives to Him, He is there. He is walking with us. And a lot of times we don't always feel it. Especially if things are really crowding in on you.
Yeah.
And we just want to be a blessing.
Amen. We're going to go to a song. We're going to be right back. Don't change your dial. I have a couple that have spent many, many, many years working with Teen Challenge, have an amazing God story, and know all about the power of God to set a person free and change lives. Rick and Donna Fernandez, friends of ours, honey, going back, I don't know, 30 plus years.
Yes.
We're going to be right back with them, so keep your dial set right here.
My name, the skies proclaim.
going to drop that volume and that song down. It runs on for another minute or so, but we want to get right to our next guest. And the message of that song is a powerful message. God, you reign. And because of that, there is hope. I know John Nelson, losing his wife and having a lifestyle of addiction, living out of garbage cans, trash dumpsters, etc., and now having about 25% of his heart that actually works and yet is running or working with his son in a business to help provide, and very active in familiesrecover.org, pouring into other people's lives. Awesome. I want to welcome Rick and Donna Fernandez. Hello.
Hello.
That sounds like Brother Ricky. Well, you all certainly are not foreigners to the power of God changing lives. I know you are there with your wife. Is she able to speak in with you as well, Rick?
I'm here.
Oh, hi there. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Nice to be here this morning. Hi, Rachel.
Hello. Hello, my sister Rachel.
Hello.
Well, we've been knowing each other a while and been serving God both in different areas here in the state of Florida. But tell us a little bit of your God story, Rick and Donna, and just so our listeners can get a little bit of an idea of the power of God that has worked in your life. And we want to talk about that a little bit, your God story, and then we want to talk a little bit about what you're doing today and maybe how you can connect with some ministries and churches that might be able to profit from the giftings that you have. Tell us your God story.
Okay. When you say God story, I got many. Which one you want?
Well, let's start with the one where you were when God started finding you, and Don as well. Both of you have some pretty powerful testimonies.
You got that. Well, I was born and raised. We both were born and raised in New York.
Oh, I thought you were from Tennessee with that accent.
Well, let me tell you mine, and then Don will take over. I grew up in the South Bronx. I was born in Manhattan. I always say I was born in Manhattan and delivered to the Bronx, the South Bronx. And growing up, I didn't have a father. My father abandoned us when I wasn't even born. And so basically my mother was raising four children, and we had another child, but a sister, and she passed away during birth. So my mother raised three boys and one girl. And we grew up in the streets of the Bronx, and, you know, just always wanting to be accepted and wanting to be part of something. You know, I found myself in the gangs in New York. There was a gang called the Savage Skulls that I got connected with, and they became my family. You know, it's just funny I say that, because even till today I'm connected with a few of them. You know, and I just talked to the president a few days ago. And one thing led to another. At a young age, I ended up running into a friend of mine's that got saved. And his name was Franco. Franco was coming from the subway station in the South Bronx on Southern Boulevard. And all of a sudden, when I saw his face, I couldn't believe the transformation that took place in his life. Remember, Franco was a gang member. He was one of the leaders. And when I saw him, I could not believe that this guy went from dirty dungarees, motorcycle boots, gang jacket, long hair, to short hair, a nice short leather jacket, some creased dungarees with white Converse, and he had a briefcase. And in that briefcase, he had a Bible that was called a Thompson Chain Bible. And I take it that kind of Bible was for theologians.
Yeah.
So when he approached me, he turned around and he looked at me, and I looked at him, And I said, Franco? He said, Little Ricky. That's what they used to call me.
Aww.
And I said, what in the world happened to you? And that's when he began to share the love of Jesus with me.
Praise God.
And it was 1974 when I accepted the Lord, and I went to a program called Youth Challenge located in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut. I didn't stay there long because I got in trouble. That man will be worse. But Jonathan, that took place in my life. My life got worse. The devil and his demons came into my life. And before you know it, at 16, I ended up going to jail for the first time. I was a young Michael Jackson looking guy with a nice, beautiful afro. Matter of fact, it was better than Michael Jackson. And I ended up in jail. I stayed there, about, I think it was 30 days, and I got into a fight. That fight got me another charge. I ended up doing, at a nine-month sentence, I did 11 months. So I came out in 11 months. It was 17. I was 17 years old. 17, I ended up getting arrested for strong-arm robbery, and then I ended up going to prison at 17 years old. Didn't get out till I was 21 years old. 21, it brought me to Tampa, Florida, where my brother had moved. He was in the Air Force. And I was doing good for a season. You know, worked at a place called Brown Trophies for a while. Then I started getting into trouble. After going on vacation back to New York, I developed a cocaine habit. And I began to sell cocaine, use cocaine, to the point that I developed close to $1,000 a day cocaine habit. And people say, how in the world can that be? And I said, well, I had the drugs, so I was so desperate that the guy that was giving me the drugs to sell, I would tap the bag, sell part of it, and use part of it. So my habit just increased. And one day I prayed, because Jonathan, I was tired of this life. I lost everything. I was out on the streets. I was evicted from my home. All my furniture was thrown out into the streets. And I prayed that day, and I said, God, I am sick and tired of this life. And it was that day that I got arrested in 1985. And I ended up having a lady that graduated Teen Challenge in 1964 by the name of Janet Kinsey. She was connected with a pastor named Jim Raley from Ormond Beach. And they both went to court with me in 1986. And the judge sentenced me to Teen Challenge. And these were her words to me. You go and finish that program and don't leave. If you leave, don't come back to my state or I'm going to put you back in prison. Or rather, don't come back to my city, which was Tampa. So when I went in the program, I always say love compelled. Love is what compelled me to do what I do. But it was love that brought me back, and that was the love of Jesus. And I graduated Teen Challenge, and I met my wife, and we began to get to know each other, and I'm going to give this over to her, let her step in, and then I'll finish it.
Welcome, Donna.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. It's amazing what the Lord can do when we open up our lives and hearts to Him. And I'm just going to share just a tad of my testimony, but And I'm going to share it first part of it in a spoken word that I just so I can get the details out of the way, but let everybody know a little bit about what my life was like. And in the beginning, darkness covered my heart, and I didn't have a future or a hope from the start. My childhood had left me wounded deep inside. I was abandoned. My father left me alone when he died. My mother was depressed, and sadness covered her eyes. She did her best to raise me, but I soon took a dive. My family was steeped in addiction that caused pain. And what's worse, I followed that lead. It was so insane. One night while I was getting high, I realized death was near. I was barely breathing in a hospital bed right here in Broward County, and there was pain with every one of my tears. And then about 5 weeks down the road, I had continually started to heal, and I knew that the Lord was in this, and it was time for me to get real. And then somebody told me about this place called Teen Challenge where I could find healing in a safe space. And there was a bunch of people there who cared, and they shared the good news with me. But for all of this to work out, I had to be the one to choose. And, you know, sometimes I didn't know how I could really change. And there was so much in my mind I needed rearranged. And I didn't know how God can use someone like me. But then he broke through and he set my heart free. And that's my testimony in a nutshell. I spent close to a year at Teen Challenge getting all I could get during that time and staying put and working through some issues, deep-seated issues I had in my life that that always messed me up and caused me to go on this road of destruction. But God had stepped in. And he gave me one last chance. I knew this was my last chance, and I had to take it because I was in and out a lot of times of sobriety. But this time I needed to step into what God had for me. And that's where we met, because we both were on staff at that program after our graduation. And we met there and moved to South Florida and began to work with women and right off the streets in Fort Lauderdale, and then eventually pioneered a beautiful women's home in West Davie. And God gave us the ability to work with people, the ladies and some of their families, to bring hope and life. And we did that in a residential facility. So that's it in a nutshell for me.
How many years were you all leading in Teen Challenge? I know a lot of years.
It was 35 years.
Wow.
35 years. And then you retired to go back to work, right? I mean, it's not like you retired and quit. And we may have some people listening that don't know anything about Teen Challenge, and maybe at some point before we close the next 10 minutes or so, we can give that. But tell us what God's doing in your life today, Rick, and how people could perhaps connect with you and your wife. I know you offer a lot to the body of Christ in the way of ministry.
Well, just so you know that after leaving Teen Challenge, you know, I questioned God. And I say, what now? And at that moment, I got a phone call from a mother, a desperate mother. She said, Rick, I need help. Now, this was a call all the way in Micanopy, Florida, around Gainesville and Ocala area. And I'm down here in South Florida. And I begin to talk to this mother. And I turned around and I questioned her, how old is your son? And she said, he's 23, and he's got a two-year-old son, and he's a full-blown alcoholic. And I said, is he there with you? And she said, yes. I said, well, put him on. Jonathan, I got on the phone with this young man, and I began to talk to him, and all of a sudden, the phone went dead. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? It was at that moment, I kind of felt I was in my living room. My wife and I were here, and the phone went dead. And all of a sudden, I felt like God was standing like probably 3-4 feet away from me. And he put his finger in my face, and he said, Ricky, I am not finished with you yet.
There you go.
This was after a 35-year stretch with a ministry that's been around for years, ministering to the addicts in New York City and all over the world. And I began to bawl like a baby. I cried. I wept. And all of a sudden, the phone rang, and it was the young man. And he said, what happened? I said, the phone went dead. He heard my voice, and he said, are you okay? And I said, no. He said, what's wrong? I said, I'm crying. He said, why are you crying? Because I got to get you help right now. And let me tell you something. I'm looking at pictures as I'm talking. I wish I could show them. I'm looking at pictures of this young man after he went to Teen Challenge. He didn't finish the program, but that does not mean that God didn't touch him. He turned around and he did 4 months and he moved on. He had his struggles, but I'm looking at pictures of him getting married. I'm looking at pictures of him, his mother, the one that was desperate, standing with him. They're both smiling.
Praise God.
I have another picture of me, my wife, his mom and dad, and him in the middle. I have another picture, and these are pictures afterwards. Another picture of his newborn baby. He had another baby. And then I got two more pictures of him in different years. And the last picture I took with him, I went to visit him in Micanopy, and I handed him the Life of Christ booklet that I distribute as one of our tools. So the thing is that God spoke to me. He said, Ricky, I'm not finished with you yet. And today, you know, our services that we offer, our outreach, you know, assistance, practical evangelism training, our outreach framework with consultation and assisting people, you know, that have substance abuse. You know, Jonathan, our mission is to ignite a passion for outreach and evangelism, because that is one of the things that a lot of people are slacking. You know, it's okay for us to do things together as a church, but individuals need to understand that God is calling them. The word says many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are the ones that respond to the
right
call of God.
That's right.
Everybody is an ambassador for Christ.
So your ministry is called Ambassador for Christ. After 35 years of ministry, God has you out ministering in churches. What if people have maybe a women's group, a men's group, a Bible study, a pastor, someone that maybe is meeting in different facilities, different environments? Are you all available to come and train and equip the local believers in how to evangelize and how to handle and how to minister to the addicted?
Yes, yes. Matter of fact, let me give you our update as Ambassadors for Christ Outreach.
Okay.
In 2026, you know, our goal and mission is to ignite a passion in outreach and evangelism.
Okay.
We are reaching more than ever before with the gospel. It's funny how we've been with this ministry for 35 years, and then God recommissions us, and we're reaching more, you know. We go from the inner cities of South Florida to the streets of North Florida and beyond. We've even went up to Teen Challenge Center in Kentucky. You know, we have given hundreds of life of Christ booklets. You know, it's funny how we turned around and we gave one of these. I went to an eye doctor, and the lady I gave one out, she says, "Do you have another one?" You know, and she liked it, you know. You know, people are hungry and looking for hope. So we make the most of every opportunity. You know, we give out the tract to the cashiers, invite someone to church. You know, we show Jesus to someone this week, and you can do it. Don't let AI tell your story. That's your job. So we try to encourage people. That's their job, you know, to get out there in the churches.
Yeah, so we absolutely will go into wherever there's might be a meeting that people are interested in learning how to do practical evangelism. It's not hard. It's just something you have to get in the habit of doing and be prepared, going out prepared. And so we're absolutely available to do that for whatever group that would have us in. We call the churches InReach, and then we do outreach also, which is going into facilities like the juvenile detention center and a PAL center we went into the other day, and just, you know, kids that need to know that Jesus loves them, and he's not afraid of their dark places. He's not afraid. Everybody has dark places, and Jesus is not afraid of dark places. He's the light of the world, and then he says to us as Christians, we're the light of the world.
Amen.
So, but people can step into that light, and so it's really exciting to see how God uses people on this earth today to bring his love to the world.
Now, how can people find out more and get a hold of you all?
Well, they can call us. Our number is 754-276-1567. And that's Ambassadors for Christ Outreach, 2 Corinthians 5:20.
Yeah, and then we have a website that's just being developed. So there is a page that also has our information on it there as it's under construction. And that is AFCO, that's Ambassadors for Christ Outreach, and 520, based on the scripture that is 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors.org, AFCO520.org.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, we're almost out of time. I would like one of you to...